Good morning, and want to welcome each of you this morning. Glad for your presence with us. Had to think of Jesus' words that we had in our Sunday school lesson when he gathered with his disciples. He said, "Peace be unto you." And I trust this morning that each of you in your heart are feeling that peace. We know they were assembled out of fear, but Jesus bestowed peace upon them, and I trust that each of us can feel the peace of God as we have gathered to worship him. I invite you to open your Bibles to the only place in the Bible where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Our Bible seems to be full of this theme of the Lord as our shepherd, but if I understand it correctly, there's only one place that we have the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And now maybe you don't even need to turn there because you know this passage by memory. But Psalm 23 is 6 verses, 17 lines, 118 words. And it's a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior. And if there is one passage in all of Scripture that makes us feel the warmth of God's love, his comforting care, his unfailing support, and his strong leadership, I believe it's in these 6 verses in our Bible, Psalm 23. I invite you to stand and let's either read or say these verses together. I'm going to be following along in my Bible just to make sure I get them correctly. But let's go through Psalm 23 together. Everybody, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You may be seated. So I'd like to look at, as an introduction to this passage, 4 questions, and then the last question will be the main point of our message. But the first question is, who wrote this psalm? Well, that's an easy question for us to answer. It was David. We have no doubt in our mind that it was David. Did David know anything about sheep and about being a shepherd? Well, probably more than all of us combined. Now, did David know anything about the Lord as his shepherd? Well, he probably, again, knew that better than many of us. So we conclude that David knew what he was talking about when he penned these words. Now, when we look into the history of a passage, especially one as familiar as this one, there are many commentators and they have many things to say, and it's a challenge to find something that's reputable and accurate. So I think we need to take all comments with a grain of salt, yet I think it's good for us to reflect on how and why David might have been inspired to write this great psalm. You know, we picture David constantly living with his sheep. So much so that when his father and brothers, actually all his family, was gathered together for a feast, David wasn't there. Why? Because he was with his sheep. You know, we find it hard to picture the scene. And what comes to our mind is probably a pasture with sheep grazing, you know, similar to what's on the front of your bulletin. I didn't know that was going to be there preparing for this, but I thought that was interesting. But as you look at that picture, where is the shepherd? And you know, in our neighborhood, when we drive past the pasture with sheep, there's no shepherd there. The shepherd might be in his tractor in the next field. The shepherd might be in his pickup truck headed to town. The shepherd might be in his recliner reading his favorite book. But not so in today's passage, and not so in the scene that we have here today. It's a totally different setting, a totally different scene. There are no fences. And sheep tend to wander. They're prone to wander. There are lions and bears lurking in the shadows. We learn that again from David. And sheep cannot protect themselves. Rocks, crevices, cliffs, rugged and steep. And sheep have no sense of danger. Raging streams. You know, sheep can't swim. Wilderness. Sheep, they need help to find food. Parasites and disease. Sheep, they can't clean themselves. They can't take care of themselves. So here we have David. He literally lived and breathed sheep because he was with them all the time. Now, was it his passion? I'm not sure. I tend to think music was his passion. But again, his role as shepherd required him to be with them all the time, and he understood well the relationship between shepherd and their sheep, and sheep and their shepherd. So that brings us to the second question. What inspired David to write this psalm? Did David write this psalm while he was lying on his back, enjoying the cool breeze, sheep grazing contentedly nearby, watching the fluffy white clouds float through the sky, listening to the rippling stream, and maybe humming a tune while this new psalm was developing in his mind? Is that what was happening here? What inspired David to write this psalm? A few commentators feel this psalm was actually written during 2 Samuel 15, when David had to flee for his life from his son Absalom. Absalom was after his life. David needed to flee. Some commentators feel that's when this was written. But most commentators agree that David wrote this psalm at the end of his life, after many of his life experiences, rather than while he was a young lad tending sheep. And verse 5, it says, he talks about his enemies. So we know he was old enough to have enemies. That we do know. I think it's fair to say that David was writing this psalm not when things were at their best, but when things could have been much better than what they were. David was reflecting back across the years of his life, and he was inspired to write, "The Lord is my shepherd." We do know it is pain, not pleasure, that makes us realize that we need a shepherd. And here we have the scene of Jesus as a shepherd, and we are the sheep. So the third question for us this morning is, how can you experience the Lord as your shepherd? How can I experience the Lord as my shepherd? We sense that need in our life. How can we experience that? As I said earlier, if there's one psalm in all the book of the Psalms that makes us feel the warmth of God's love, his comforting care, his unfailing support, and his strong leadership, this is it. And this is arguably and probably the best love psalm of all the Psalms. Yet, however, I say this carefully, but I believe Psalm 23 is an abused psalm. We look at Psalm 23 and we come away and we have this distorted idea that we have been promised a life free of opposition, free of discord, free from pain, free from difficulty. And it's simply because the Lord is my shepherd. But yet nothing can be further from the truth. So, where I'm going with this, to properly understand Psalm 23, we need to understand, and I'll use the word canonical context, not to confuse you, but we need to understand, where is Psalm 23? What is before Psalm 23? Psalm 23 does not stand in isolation. And I want to point out to us that it comes after Psalm 22. And Spurgeon says this. He says, the position of this psalm is worthy of notice. It follows the 22nd psalm, which is the psalm of the cross. There are no green pastures, no still waters on the other side of the 22nd psalm. It is only after we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we come to the Lord is my shepherd. We must, by experience, know the value of blood shedding and see the sword awakened against the shepherd before we shall be able to know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. And that's what I want to point out in this point of how can we experience the Lord as our shepherd. Psalm 23 comes after Psalm 22, and it comes after Psalm 22 on purpose. It comes after Psalm 22 for a reason. We must first see the Psalm of the Cross. We must first see the Psalm that is fulfilled as Christ is being crucified. We first see the Psalm where it is foretold 1,000 years before Jesus is born that he would die on the cross. That he would be surrounded by Gentiles, that he would be crucified between two transgressors, and that they would cast lots for his clothes, and that he would be thirsty, and that he would have his tongue cleaved to the roof of his mouth, that he would be stabbed in his side. All these things are foretold in Psalm 22. And it's only because of the gruesome psalm that comes before it that Psalm 23 is the blessing that it is. And so what does that mean for you and I this morning? That means for you and I that if we want to experience Psalm 23 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, we need to first experience the cross. We need to understand the reality of the cross and the reality of living the cross before we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, too many people want to claim the shepherd, but they've not been to the cross. They do not want to live the cross. But this psalm this morning is only for those who have chosen Jesus as a personal shepherd. Only then can we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice that is personal. It's not our shepherd. It's not the shepherd. It is the Lord is my shepherd. So that brings us to the fourth question, and that is, what does it mean to have the Lord as my shepherd? So we want to look deeper into this passage to answer that question. And we find the answer to that in this passage. We will see the function of the shepherd. And I want to give you three words this morning to describe that function. And we will look at those three words. The one is, he is a caretaker. The other is, he is a companion. And the other is, he is a champion. And we want to look at those roles this morning. Now, verse 1 is a summary statement of the whole truth of this passage. We have verse 1. It kind of gives us an overview. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, what does it mean to want? As you think back through your past week, did you have any wants? Was there anything that you wanted to change? Was there anything that you wanted to accomplish? You know, we live in a world of wants. Many people around us that are wanting, and I know that we should have a discussion of the difference between wants and needs. But I'm using the word want this morning because that's what's in our passage. With Jesus as our shepherd, do those wants go away? Or do we still want? It says, I shall not want. And we're going to look a little bit at how we can be where I shall not want. The point is, we will not find the answer for our wants in the world. The Lord, as your shepherd, is the answer for those wants. And again, that's what we want to look at. If Jesus is not your shepherd, you will want, you will lack, you will not have what you need. And as we look through these verses, we will see how our shepherd is our caretaker, he's our companion, and he's our champion. So let's look at the first one, and we find that in verse 2. Actually, we find one of the roles for being a caretaker. So we find that Jesus, as our shepherd, is our caretaker. Now, what does a caretaker do? A caretaker is simply someone who takes care of something or someone. And what does our shepherd do for us as our caretaker? Well, there's three things. And the first one we find in verse 2, and that is rest. Our caretaker gives us rest. Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, it's interesting to note that this psalm starts out with the idea of rest. Do you think of your Christian life as a life of rest? You know, there's plenty of activity later. We see where our shepherd guides and leads his sheep to green pastures, through the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of evil, talks about evil. Does that sound like rest to you? We need to realize that life in this psalm, it's not portrayed as a fold where you lie down. It's portrayed as a life, it's a journey, it's a path that you walk. And your shepherd is walking with you, and along the way, he makes sure there is adequate rest. That's one thing our caretaker does for us. He gives us rest. And now I'm told there are three things that must be before a sheep will lie down and rest. And I'm not familiar with sheep. This is what I've been told. But there's four things before a sheep will lie down and rest. And one of those is he will not lie down unless he is free from fear. The other thing, he will not lie down unless there's free from friction in the flock. So if he feels threatened by another sheep, he's not going to lie down and rest. Third one is, he's not going to lie down if he's tormented by pests, by flies or parasites. He's not going to lie down. And the fourth one is, he's not going to lie down if he's hungry. So we have fear, friction, pests, or hunger. He will not lie down and rest. Now just hold that thought because we'll come back to it as we think of rest. But what do green pastures look like? Do you know what green pastures are? Did you experience green pastures this past week? You know, I've heard a lot of comments about the dry, brown conditions all around us. And we're seeing a lot of dried up, brown surroundings. But what do green pastures look like? And what are these green pastures that our caretaker has for us? Well, we need to understand that green pastures don't just happen. And again, this is what our shepherd, our caretaker shepherd, does for us. It takes work to have green pastures. Rocks need to go, brush, roots, stumps, weeds, thistles. The ground needs to be carefully prepared for a good, healthy grass, and it needs to be planted and nourished. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind." To me, that sounds like green pastures. power, love, and a sound mind. So just think back of those four things that must go before we can be at rest. And think about what better solution for fear than to trust Jesus, our shepherd. And also think about the friction of daily living. Doesn't he have the answer for that as well? And then just think about the pests, and I'm not sure what to label that as, but I had to think about those besetting sins, those little things that just they just get in our lives. And again, I would say our caretaker Jesus is the one that will help us with that. What about hunger? Who can feed us better than our shepherd? So here we have our caretaker shepherd and what he wants to do for us so that we can have rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And think about that word, maketh me. Does Jesus, as our shepherd, does he force us to lie down? Is that what that means? I believe it means that he very carefully prepares the conditions so that the pastures are green and so that we can have rest and that we can lay down. So we have our caretaker, shepherd, that gives us rest. The other thing he gives us is refreshment. And we find that also in what we looked at, verse 2, green pastures. We find refreshment in the green pastures, but we also find that in the next phrase in verse 2 where it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The emphasis here is the abundance and the delightfulness and the ease of obtaining the nourishment that we as sheep so much need. You know, sheep may be able to survive in drier climates, but they still need water. And finding that water requires the shepherd. Remember, sheep are ignorant. By themselves, they cannot do this. They need help. We as his sheep cannot find refreshing water without our shepherd. Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So you have a choice this morning. You can drink from the wells of the world, or you can drink from the water that the shepherd provides. What water have you been drinking? Does it give your soul refreshment? So our caretaker gives us rest, refreshment. The third thing he gives us is restoration, and we see that in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David knew what it was to have a soul that needed to be restored. We're talking about restoration. Remember, David probably wrote this psalm toward the end of his life. Whether it was while he was running from Absalom, his son, we don't know for sure. But he had endured many difficulties. He was well aware of what it felt like to need to be restored. Psalm 42:11 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Do you know what a cast sheep is? I understand it's an English term for a sheep that has rolled over on its back and it's unable to get up. It's stuck. There's nothing it can do. It needs help. Someone needs to restore that sheep. Now the question is, do you have a soul that needs restored? Do you have a yearning in your life? Do you feel like you are maybe stuck and you need help? The path to restoration lies in following our shepherd in the paths of righteousness. So our shepherd will lay out for us the right way to go, and he will lead us in those ways. Sheep need to be led. Sheep will wander if they're not led. Sheep are helpless animals. They cannot do anything to care for themselves. They need to be restored. And this morning, that's a picture of you and I. We can't help ourselves. We need somebody to guide us, someone to lead us, someone to show us the way. He restoreth my soul. That's what our caretaker does for us. He restores us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Are we willing to go where our shepherd is leading us? And these paths of righteousness are all trails that the shepherd has blazed. He knows where he's going. We have these words from our shepherd. In Isaiah, he says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." All of this speaks of our caretaker shepherd. In that he gives us rest, refreshment, and restoration. All right, let's look at the second thing that our shepherd will do for us. We looked at the caretaker shepherd. Now we want to look at the fact that he is our companion. He will be your companion. And again, we have three things that benefit us because our shepherd is our companion. He is with us. The first thing we see is in verse 4. He gives us confidence. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You can walk through the darkest valley because your shepherd is your companion. Now I want us to notice this is the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't speak of death itself, merely the shadow of death. And Spurgeon observed this. He said that death in its substance have been removed. Only the shadow of death remains. Remember, we are a sheep. We have accepted Jesus as our shepherd. And we are walking, and it's only the shadow of death. And for there to be a shadow, there needs to be light. Our shepherd is that light. John 11 says this, Jesus, our shepherd speaking, says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." We do pass by the shadow of death. Sickness, discouragement, hard times are all valleys that take us by the shadow of death. We pass through the valleys, and these are in the shadow of death. If you are like me, we shrink from valleys. We like the mountaintops. But remember, we must go through the valleys before we can reach the mountains. We cannot step from mountaintop to mountaintop, although we would like to. And we need to remember that most time it's the growth in our lives that happens in the valleys. And here is where we find comfort. Even though we might be walking through the darkest valley, we are walking with our shepherd, and he is our companion. He is giving us confidence. He is with us. The second thing that our companion does is he gives us courage. Verse 4 says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Think about David as a shepherd boy. He faced the lion and the bear. He knew because of his shepherd. And he knew that because his shepherd was stronger than the lion and the bear, that he did not need to fear. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper," or "The Lord is my companion. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Notice he does not promise. He does not promise that there will be no evil. But he says that we need not fear evil because our companion, he will drive the evil away. We have our companion. He gives us confidence. He gives us courage. And the third thing is he gives us comfort. Verse 4 again. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod and the staff are symbols of the shepherd's authority. His strength and his protection are embodied in these symbols. Now the rod, I understand it, was used to beat off the predators, and the staff was used to guide the sheep, maybe to prod them. Now I would assume that a sheep with a shepherd's crook around its neck was probably not a very comfortable thing. So how can the rod and the staff comfort me? Well, I think the comfort comes knowing that our shepherd is using his tools using what he has for our good. He's guiding us with those things. It's for our well-being. Now, maybe the prods and the nudges that we feel from our shepherd, maybe they're a little bit irritating and annoying, but we find comfort knowing that our shepherd is nudging us in the direction that is best for us. And again, remember, our shepherd has walked the path before us. He knows where he's going. He knows where he wants us to go. And he's our companion. And in that, he gives us confidence, he gives us courage, and he gives us comfort. So the last thing we want to look at is he will be our champion. Now, a champion is maybe not a word that we use to refer to for Jesus as our shepherd, but a champion is a winner. He is someone who has overcome. And he's also a champion is someone who does battle for someone else. And I'm blessed by that this morning, and that's what I want to uphold to us. What is our champion doing for us? And we find that here in the last two verses of this psalm. And the scene is somewhat switching here. And it appears like the shepherd becomes a host and the sheep are his guests. And they're having a banquet. And our shepherd is hosting this banquet in the presence of the enemies. So there's enemies to the sheep lurking. But there's nothing that they can do. Because the shepherd is there, he has his sheep gathered, they're having a pleasant time together, and the enemies, there's nothing they can do about this, and that is because our shepherd is our champion. And there again, there's three things that we find in these verses. The first one is he provides us with safety. Verse 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." We have safety because of our champion. First Peter gives us an idea of maybe how this works. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." And as we look at what our champion shepherd is doing for us, we see a picture of settleness. We see a setting where we need not fear because there is safety in our shepherd. Danger is lurking around every corner. But we can feast our souls knowing that our shepherd has prepared this for us. The challenge in this, though, is what are you feasting your soul on? Are you feasting your soul on what the shepherd has prepared? That's the only way there's safety. If you're feasting your soul on something that is not from the shepherd, there's no safety. There's danger in that. So we have our champion this morning. He is giving us safety. The second thing he does for us as our champion is he gives us sympathy. And we see that in verse 5. "Thou anointest my head with oil." And what I mean by sympathy is he understands our feelings. He knows what you are feeling. He relates to you in your feelings. This is more than just making sure you have food and water. He also wants to know what's in your heart. Now, oil, there's many different applications to this. Oil was used to protect and to heal. And I believe that the shepherd did this for the sheep to keep them healthy and to help them if they had an ailment, a disease, or something wrong. They would anoint them with oil. They would put oil on the wound. And there's many things that we could relate this to. But our shepherd, the picture I want here is that our shepherd enters into our life, not just in a physical way, but also through his spirit. into our soul, into our being. Isaiah says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And this oil also has the idea of it was some type of a feast. It was a pleasant thing that the shepherd was doing for his sheep. And we know that that is our experience when we experience our shepherd's sympathy, when he enters into our feelings with us. So we have one more thing that we learn here. As we think of our champion, he gives us safety, he gives us sympathy, and he also gives us satisfaction. He provides us with satisfaction. Verse 5 says, my cup runneth over. Our shepherd fully satisfies our every need. Not just barely, but our cups are running over. You know, each one of us is searching to be satisfied. We have many things in this life that we can use to try to meet that need to be satisfied. But the question is, will they work? You know, maybe for a time, maybe for a while. Maybe we feel like our life is pretty good. But where is true satisfaction? It is found only in our champion shepherd when he provides us with satisfaction. Now notice the last verse as we think of this satisfaction. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23 is about this life. Not heaven. We do not have enemies in heaven. We do not have the shadow of death in heaven. We do not have evil in heaven. This is talking about this life. What he is describing here is the blessings that a Christian, that his sheep can experience in this present world, in the midst of our conflicts, our sorrows, our struggles. We have these promises to lean on. This is not a picture of heaven, but it's a picture of earthly life and the foretastes that we can have as we think of heaven, the benefits of heaven. And he very much explains that for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We do not need to pursue God's blessing. God's blessings are pursuing us as we follow the good shepherd. And that's key here. Follow the good shepherd while we journey. With the good shepherd, his goodness and mercy will follow us. So, in closing, we have the last phrase. It says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Obviously, that's the goal as sheep. Following the shepherd, make sure the Lord is your shepherd. Make sure your eyes are on the good shepherd. Be sure he is your shepherd so that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever.